to order. It is 6:01 now. Legislator Blitz, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Clerk Tierney, if you wouldn't mind doing a roll call for us.
Chair Petit.
Here.
Deputy Chair Fabiano.
Here.
Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Erner.
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you. Okay, so first on the agenda, we have approval of the June 5th, 2023 minutes. Do I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so moved. Next, we have resolution number 337, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a municipal agreement with the City of Kingston, where the county is a subrecipient of the city's ARPA funds.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
That was postponed 1 month in Ways and Means.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to talk about it now or you want to wait till next
month. We were discussing that just a few minutes ago. No, I had spoken with Deputy Executive Contreras, and she had said that they were moving it till next month. So, do we need a motion to postpone, or can we just take no action?
It's up to you.
We'll just take no action. Legislator Erner.
I'd like to offer a couple of comments for the record since we have
okay,
moved it.
Okay, thank you.
So I have this memo where Comptroller Gallagher had observed that the operating costs for this shelter were supposed to all be met by New York State. That's one piece of information. Another piece is I learned from Social Services Commissioner Iaposi at a meeting I was at. Don't think anybody else. Deputy Laval, you were at that meeting, but the commissioner had observed that 50% of temporary assistance clients needing housing at social services who present there, that they're aware of, are from the city of Kingston. And so I just wanted to point that out too while we're thinking about the appropriate location for a shelter. And I think those are my comments.
Yeah, I'd also like to say that to have housing available specifically for families is really important, and that I think that the purchase of this building was in part motivated by its location, which is really central for people who don't have don't own their own vehicles, and that as construction costs are going up extremely rapidly everywhere, so I'm puzzled and disturbed by delaying for 2 months, as we have, the project that has these special characteristics that I think really make it a very important project for filling a vital gap in our housing. So I don't see us taking action on it tonight because there'll be more information that the executive's office has agreed to bring forward. But I think that the increases in cost that were anticipated for this project are not out of order, not out of line with increases in construction costs for other projects of this size and less complex. So I really appreciate the efforts of the ARPA team, and I hope that we can get this project moving forward. We did in this committee a month ago ask if we could completely demolish this building and rebuild something for less money. And the answer from everyone was no, not even close.
It would be
you know, multiples of the cost to do that. But we don't have anything comparable in terms of location. So our choice to renovate the building seems to me to be motivated by the fact that we need what we could put there, and this is the least expensive way to get there. And we'll have to look at the financing. Maybe we do delay by 2 or 6 months to get more funding from sources that take longer to come in. But that this 2 months that we're not taking at this current juncture, I think, is a loss of time that we could have been, you know, moving towards having housing available.
I'll disagree. I don't believe 2 months, considering it's not going to be done for another 2 years, is significant. I think it's awful that we're going to be waiting another 2 years. I was very excited about this project when we first looked at it. Yes, the building seemed expensive at $700,000. I certainly thought for that price it would be in better shape. And then we had $500,000 coming in from the city, $100,000 from Hinchey's office. It was very doable at another $1 million. We're already up to $3.7 million, and now they're talking about a full elevator and commercial type washers and dryers, and I would anticipate this is going to be closer to $6 or $7 million. There is housing available. There's an ARC property that's been kind of bounced around for a little bit, and a legislator kind of said tongue-in-cheek, I guess we're waiting for a developer to buy it and then they can sell it back to us for 3 times more money. I mean, that'll house 6. It's not the 8 to 10 families that we'd like to get in, but it's turnkey, it's move-in ready. So I really think that we're going to have to, you know, it's going to take a lot of back and forth, but I think at this point, and with the time, and the fact that legislators are paying out of pocket to put people in hotels, that's not sustainable either.
I would just say that it's not an either-or proposition. We have need for the units you described and for this facility. And putting these decisions off for additional time because it's a government-run project, government-run projects are going to go more slowly. And so when you add time by complaining that it's taking too long, it just is going to make it longer if we do go forward. And I think we will go forward. I certainly hope we go forward with this project and any other, you know, reasonable project that will add to our housing stock for low-income families.
Legislator Erner.
Since we took that tour, there's been some public statements by the county executive willing to look into alternatives, and I'm wondering if the team here has any information about us, if there's any looking that's been done.
Yes, absolutely.
I would say at a high level that we have been, we don't currently have a real estate agent under, we're going through procurement right now to get a real estate agent who will be working for us for various other projects, but DPW has been pretty active in looking at the listings, and what we're finding is a couple things. One is that the inventory is very low. Some of the hotels are going under contract and they're no longer on the market. The other thing is that they're constrained, both in location and often in condition. So I think that the ideal of finding a place that is ready with little to no work is very hard. That would be a very hard thing to do right now. Robert's been looking at most of
those
listings.
Well, we've been looking into some motels in different regions in the county, and as Amanda said, 2 of the 3 have offers already accepted. So.
And the third one is hopeless. That's the one that's getting ripped down.
We're still looking at that.
Yeah.
And like as Amanda said, we're also waiting for this real estate services agent or RFP to go through,
mm-hmm.
so we can have someone who can come in as a professional and help us negotiate these type of deals.
And one other note to add to that, if I may, is that even if you have an existing hotel that is being operated as a hotel, if we were to buy that and then operate it as a shelter, we have to receive the appropriate permits and approvals to operate it as a shelter, and that is, again, there's lead time involved with that as well, because then it becomes a shelter and it is regulated by the state. So it is not a matter of buying a hotel and then just turning around and offering him it.
Bless you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
That there is a,
OTDA, and then it's their Division of Shelter Oversight Compliance is the division of OTDA that would do the licensure and oversee it.
So it does, I think, when perhaps alternate time frame is being considered, it is not necessarily anywhere as rapid as the hope could be there.
Thank you. Legislator Erner.
Following up to that, facilities that we currently house folks in through social services have had this inspection, correct?
Yes. Yeah, if they're operated as shelters.
Uh-huh.
So it's if you are, do you know the percentage? Is there a percentage of kind of
occupancy
that then?
So this is a question regarding. So can you just restate the question? I just want to make sure I get this right.
Yeah. In order for us to house through temporary assistance at social services clients, we need some permission from the state. Some inspections have to be done.
Right.
How do those relate to the inspections that Deputy Executive Laval was just speaking of in terms of us operating such a facility as a shelter?
Okay, so I guess I can, I think of it, because this is what I have the most experience with, from the standpoint of what we've done for 21 Elizabeth, which I expect would largely need to be repeated. So I know it started without me, but Commissioner Iaposi was at the meeting, and possibly DPW, when DSOC walked around and toured the building, and that was very early. What was great was that they said, you know, based on what we see of the room sizes, they are compliant and they have enough square footage where a lot of interior walls wouldn't necessarily need to be removed. So we've kind of created that into the plan with like pass-through doors that could be put in. I think a very similar initial step would have to happen for any other building. But, you know, those room sizes are very, I would say, comparable to a hotel. So I think there's, you know, you could take a deep breath with that, because I think that would also, that first step would hopefully go smoothly. There is also regulations that we, you know, we have the architects, we started meeting with DSOC remotely, but basically they were giving us the regulations and we started diving in the regulations, and which aren't, you know, impossible, but there's certain, you know, bedrooms needed for a number of people, and I don't have it, you know, I can't recite it off the top of my head, but all those would have to be met to become a licensed state shelter.
And if I may add to that, just because I think there's two different things that might be being discussed here. One is inspections, the other one is the licensure. So once you're taking, if you're also operating as a hotel, you're operating under like the rules and the licensing of being a hotel. If you're only taking folks as a shelter, then you need the separate kind of licensure permits as a shelter. Currently, I don't know, and I can inquire with Joanna and get back to you, what kinds of inspections that the hotels that were also using for temporary emergency housing would have, the inspections. However, they're not licensed as shelters.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the big difference here. If we were to buy a hotel that's currently being operated as a hotel and then want to operate it as a shelter, that's a different set of permits, reviews, approvals. Is that?
Thank you.
So I recommend that we take no action.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you. It's just getting to me. Okay, resolution number 374, adopting proposed local law number 6 of 2023, a local law amending the Code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 131, Vehicles County, Article 1, Sustainable Green Fleet Policy. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Is there any discussion on this? Legislator Erner.
Thanks. I just want to note that this partially aligns with the county executive's order number one, particularly with respect to UCAT. I believe it was point number 12 where she wrote that all UCAT vehicles must be electric henceforth. This policy doesn't require that. It just requires that they be a green vehicle, and it gives some examples of what those might be. But in general, a green vehicle is defined as one that reduces fuel consumption and pollution, which I totally support. So that's why I'd like to support this resolution.
Okay, very good. Any other comments? Hearing none, I'll move for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 377, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Esopus as an ARPA subrecipient to fund improvements to the Roger Mabee Water Treatment Plant.
I'll move it.
Second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 378, reassigning capital project number 659, ARP solar and EV charging infrastructure to capital project number 674 due to an administrative error. Motion for discussion. Okay.
I'll second it.
All right. That's why it looked so familiar. Okay. Any discussion on this one?
One of my favorite resolutions ever to pass.
Yeah, I like these resolutions. Okay. All right. Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Expect everybody to let their towns know so that Nate has a whole slew of contracts to take a look at in a couple of months. But thank
already
you.
Already building them.
Yeah, already building them. All right. Resolution number 400, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Access Support for Living, Inc. Motion for discussion?
I move it.
I'll second it.
Thank you. We did discuss this in health. I don't know if anyone had questions on it.
I'm going to recuse on this because okay. I am the volunteer president of an organization that also rents in the same facility.
Okay.
And is currently undergoing discussions for additional space.
Okay. And Director McDonald was very excited about this this particular move in, and it's going to substantially increase assistance it can provide people with mental health. I had a friend who ended up taking in an out-of-control 16-year-old who does need assistance, but the, you know, kind of, I don't want to say down and dirty, but you go in, they say she's not in danger of hurting herself or anyone else, and that was it. And it did not resolve any of the ongoing issues, so I'm glad that this is there.
And I'll just clarify for the clerk that can be just reason of employment.
Okay. All right. So if there's no further discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
Legislator Norton. Thank you. Resolution number 401, authorizing rail removal within the Ulster and Delaware Railroad Corridor to allow for the construction of the Michael LaPaglia Memorial Bridge over the Esopus Creek in the town of Shandaken.
Move.
Motion
second.
Any discussion on this? Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So, please forgive that I missed the site visit for this. Do we have a timeline on when the decisions will be made? I guess that's the first question.
As far as...
Yes, I saw like a list of five alternatives.
There's four alternatives, including the null. We're leaning towards alternative two or three, which have moderate impacts. Both would impact the rail. All of them are going to impact that building the rail. But we have not made a final decision yet.
Thank you.
Has the property owner been willing to compromise, or
the one that's to the south of Bridge Street?
Southeast. The west is going to be impacted. Yeah.
I know engineering is working with that. Probably are to make sure that they're...
Because that would make life easier,
you know,
correct?
This is really just the first step. We need this authorization from the legislature in order to move forward with any type of design.
Okay.
What's the total linear footage of rail you were taking in?
How much, Rob?
A couple hundred feet. From Bridge Street west, there's only a few hundred feet before it goes into the drink anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no trail at that point.
And otherwise, that section would be under pavement anyway, because to raise the bridge up, they have to go out quite a bit.
One of the last whereases says that the rail would be disposed of north of the removal. And I'm not sure what that means.
It doesn't say disposed of. It says stored.
Stored. That's right. It does say stored.
And that's a good question, Kath. And I'm the legislator. Nolan, sorry. It's a good question. It's a very good question. I don't think any determination has been made to the exact location. And it's also just a whereas.
Yeah.
So
would it make sense to just strike that clause that says the track, what's going to happen to the track afterwards? I think what could happen to the track afterwards, in my view, is that it could be sold for a dollar to the Empire State Railroad Museum, who owns the property east of the project, and it could stay there. But I think saying that you're going to store the track that is removed in the project space is not a good plan. So I don't care where you store it. I'm happy for it to go to CMRR directly rather than go to Vandale or be stored somewhere else.
Right.
But that it's since it is just in a whereas, I'd rather that it did not specify that it just remain in the project area. It should belong to somebody and be taken care of, stored, or sold. It has value to the CMRR and perhaps to the Railroad Museum, no value to anyone else. So if we were allowed to give it away, that would be fine. But we can probably sell it for a dollar as surplus, salvage, or whatever you call it. But if we specify in this document that we're going to do one thing with it, then I think we're kind of should do that, and I don't think we should store it in the corridor.
Legislator.
I wholeheartedly agree with Legislator Nolan. This should go to somebody or someplace, not just laying around.
I mean, if we remove the, staying within the project zone, I'm okay with that, but I would like to keep the whereas in. I mean, years ago, when the first portion of rail was pulled up, it was actually cut up. So,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, the price of steel was pretty high, so we get paid for it. I would like to see it stored somewhere until, at such point, either CMRR puts in a bid for it, or you never know. I mean, the rail explorers may need it at some point, so, and they do have some demand on property already. Legislator Litz.
I believe the impetus to store it there was giving the opportunity to make a decision where it's going to go and what's going to happen. Because in absence of that, typical contract language, once the contract's let, anything that's within that area becomes the property of the contractor.
Yes.
Meaning that he would take possession and probably scrap it or whatever.
But we're doing this project. This is a county project.
It's going to be farmed out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be out the contract. Okay. The county's not going to build that bridge.
I didn't understand that. Okay. So do you have a solution that gets us past this? Because it seems wrong to say that you're going to store it in the corridor.
I think the solution is until we determine where it's going to go, if you take it up and place it just north of the bridge location outside the contract, then it can be determined go wherever we want it to go. But in absence of making that decision now, I guess we'd have to postpone this until we have a determination.
Director LaValle.
I I can't speak directly to this, but I know that, for example, on the UND corridor up in Highmount, which is beyond anything that CMRR has under license, there's talk about pulling switch gears and track up there, and there's some kind of language in a document that has almost like a priority of who might be able to see or use the track. Because there's certain switches that I know are valuable, so the DNU people from the other side of the hill are interested in them, but the contract lays out a preference for the UND who are operating.
That's very interesting, because there's no resolution by this legislature to allow them to do that.
I will look for the language, but...
I don't remember voting on doing exactly what we're doing under this resolution for anything north of this location.
I think this is a future project. I don't think that's all.
It is a future project, but I know we were approached by the Delaware and Ulster Railroad,
right,
who said, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could have some of those switches?
Right.
And it's no, there's a process for doing this. So I can look for that guidance, if that would be...
I mean, it requires a resolution by the legislative body.
Yes, so especially that, you know, this is something of value. You know, typically you would surplus it or put it out for a bid, you know, of some way, since it's a commodity of some value.
But I believe the policy that is in the original resolution says that no rail can be removed without a separate resolution by the legislature.
Well, that's why we're looking at this.
Which is why we're doing this particular one.
Right. So let me address Legislator Litz's proposition, which if we had enough corridor there that we could store this in Ulster County's corridor, that would make sense to me. But I think that the corridor here, it goes right on to Empire State Railroad Museum property and onto a private residence. So that's what's generated my concern. But if you're going to hold this up, you know, to resolve
I think
do
you're mistaken. There is right-of-way between that town road and the Esopus Creek to store that rail. Matter of fact, there is rail that goes another probably 800-900 feet beyond this location that is existing before the area that's been washed out by the Esopus Creek. They're just talking about cutting the rail off, moving it up, laying it in between the tracks north of here as a storage area until they determine what they want to do with it.
Well, the word north may be part of the problem, but I still think that this is bonkers, but I withdraw my objection because it's bonkers. It's not going to make any difference.
Could we add off-site or in the corridor?
Just leave it how the engineers that know this stuff wrote it.
It is off-site. It's outside the contract limits.
Yeah.
West or north, I mean if you use a compass, of the location of where they're removing it.
I withdraw my objection. Let's move on. Let's just vote on it.
Legislator Erner has something to say.
Thank you. So I appreciate that the team are considering what alternative makes sense for the space after the tracks are brought up in terms of a bridge. What other considerations besides the 100-year flood are you using? And I appreciate if you might not quite know. I may not be in this body when the bridge is brought before it ultimately again, but some examples might be like other climate considerations, resource constraints, the socioeconomic conditions in Phoenicia and the surrounding area.
So the primary intent of the project is to get just the resiliency for the town, to get it up out of the flood zone. There were other storms that we analyzed, but as far as the socioeconomic angle, there's a secondary possible benefit to looping the water system. That's a big benefit to having this. But aside from, I think that's really limited to it.
The town supervisor did attend the site visit that had been scheduled, and the town is very strongly behind the project.
And we did discuss bikes and pedestrians.
Yes.
And we're going to be doing something, but
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ready. Any more discussion? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. I'll get my numbers right. 402, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease renewal agreement with Vandell Properties for a fabrication facility to be used by the Ulster County Department of Public Works. Motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Yes,
second.
Okay, so we'll discuss now. I am concerned that, you know, I mean, next month we're going to have the space study presented to us, and Vandell Properties always seem to be at least a thorn in the chair's side, and I understand that there's other viewpoints on that, but I would like to wait until we actually see that study before we go ahead and renew a 5-year lease. Legislature. Fabiana?
I think at this time to do anything against that lease would be detrimental to the county highway department. I'm not saying I'm not in favor of down the road getting away from a lease and owning something or building something. What I am saying, though, to postpone this now, I mean, before that decision is made to move from there or build someplace, we have to have something on a drawing board. It's something that you can't wait, because it's going to take a long time, almost a year, to move out of there. And there's not that much time. Mm-hmm. And to go build something to give us what that offers us, I hate to see that number. So I think that we should support this tonight and go with this 5-year lease for now.
Legislator Nolan and Legislator Litz.
I agree with Legislator Fabiano. We need this facility. It is saving us a huge amount of money by allowing the county to take on major projects with the materials that are stored there. And if we don't renew that lease, then suddenly we have to move everything. We don't have an alternative.
Right.
So this is like burning the bridge that you're standing on. And it's not the way to make this decision. I understand that 5 years gets everybody's attention, but there are clauses to allow us to get out of this, and I think that we just renew and then do the study and then figure out what we want, and then there's not a reason that says we have to get, the clause does not require that we have a reason to discontinue the contract. We just have to give
right.
notice. So what I see as a reasonable plan is we do the space study, we get a plan,
right.
we find a location, we go through the long process of purchasing the location, building something that can house our equipment, have a transition plan that would get us the materials moved to a new place, and if we can get that done in 5 years, I'd be thrilled.
Exactly. Very good.
Or we may have something
nicely
already.
Said.
Legislator Litz.
Legislator Nolan's said most of what I was going to say. I believe this lease ran out July 1st.
Yes.
So,
well, we're on a month to month now.
Well, and unless we renew it, it might have to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And like Kathy said, there's a 60-day clause. So we can renew the lease, and if we find something, when we're ready to go, we just invoke the 60-day clause and negate the lease and move. So I'm in favor.
Anything else? Okay, I'll be a no vote on it then, because I really feel if we're doing month to month, we can wait another month. We may already have a property that we could move into. And we could then just renew the lease for a year. It would be a lot simpler than getting attorneys involved in trying to get out of a lease. But, all right, so I will call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That would be me. Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 403, establishing capital project number 673, Ulster County Office Building Elevator Modernization Project.
I'll move it.
Move it.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on this?
Legislator Erner has a question while he's finding his place. I would like to just point out that the brakes on most modern elevators were developed as an invention in Shandaken, in New York, out in my district. And so there's some historicity. I haven't gotten I didn't see this resolution in time to ask the people inspecting this elevator if we have those brakes.
Mm-hmm.
But elevator brakes that provide for safe stoppage of elevators across the country and probably around the world started out in Shandaken, New York.
To add on to that piece of trivia.
Yes.
To add on to that piece of trivia, there's a gentleman in Kerhonkson or Accord, he's up on the mountain, who makes the dyes to produce those types of things. And he produced a dye to make
metal dye
to press out those brakes, as well as brakes for airliners, and as well as the Chevy bow ties.
Mm. That's when we had local manufacturing, which we really need back in the
Yeah, he's just a single man in the shop.
Yeah.
His own shop. Yeah.
Mr. Parody, did you want to add anything, or you were just...
I was going to give some useless information.
That's fine.
The train that goes over, what is it, the Beacon?
There's two.
The Beacon Mountain?
Beacon Mountain?
Yeah.
That was built by Otis.
Otis, yeah.
Elevator.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Did you have anything on this legislative?
I've lost my notes, but I can ask a question off the cuff anyhow. I wonder, thinking about just the medium-term future, let's say, and again, resource constraints, whether we any thought has been given to purely mechanical elevator type technology as opposed to electrical.
Weights and pulleys?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Just clarifying.
I don't know. So the elevators that are in this building meet code, and they are hydraulic elevators. The ones that you're talking about would have to be the massive undertakings that would have to be renovated, and I don't even know if it's possible to retrofit shafts with that type of elevator. They do run on electric, though. The ones we have here.
Yeah.
They are powered by electric.
Yeah, understood.
So, they're ADA compliant, and they're almost, I think they're original. The jacket's original.
Oh, wow.
The original jacket. So
they're 60 years old.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Thank you.
Let's replace
them. Meetings would be shorter. We can get here home quicker.
I'm getting tired, decrepit at 60. I don't know how the elevators are holding up. All right. If there's no further discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 405, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $120,680 entered into by the county with Complete Building Solutions.
I'll move
motion.
It.
Second. Any discussion? Legislator Erner.
Just thank you. I see we have another resolution for this company. I know it's a different department. Is that why they're not one resolution?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
The other one's probably for you, Kat. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys go after this?
This is just an amendment. The last one.
Extension of existing contract.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 406, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amended amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Dutchess overhead doors. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Maybe for the last time I was at a loss, I might have been thinking of this resolution. So for this, can someone say which of these doors, if any, are strictly mechanical and versus which ones are electrical?
There's 130 doors on this.
It's a maintenance contract.
So it's a maintenance contract. I believe they're all pretty much electrical.
Mm-hmm. There's a mix. There's a big mix.
Is there? Mm-hmm.
All sizes and variations.
Yeah, not all the garage doors are electric operated. Some are still on the chain pulley.
Mm-hmm. And this is an extension of an existing contract for another year.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 407, approving the execution of a contract for $60,700 entered into by the county with Greenman Peterson, Inc. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second. Thank you. Any questions or comments on this? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Abstain.
For the purposes of
employment.
Okay. Resolution number 408, approving the execution of contract amendments for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county with Gordian Group, Inc. Motion for discussion.
Move.
Second.
Do we have an explanation of this?
This is 408.
There are two elements that I found confusing. One is that this is described as a piggyback,
mm-hmm.
and it has rates, or the amount of the contract is just specified as over $50,000, but it's just a contract extension, so I thought we might have exact numbers on that.
Please.
So it's a piggyback contract off of Orange County. Orange County did an RFP for this about 2 years ago. It's for a JOC program, which is job order contracting. We have yet to utilize it. We are in the process of scoping out a couple projects right now. Gordian is the owner of the JOC program. So what happens is they work with the vendors that are awarded already, and then they get 5% of whatever the total job is. So that's.
And this is anticipated that by collaborating with Orange County in this purchasing process that we obtain better bidding and opportunity?
No, I was just going to add that it's just another tool in our toolbox.
Okay.
That if we have a construction project site, for example, that we need some extra hands, it gives us an opportunity to go out and hire people.
Bid there.
You know, if we were to change a door, they'll come in and inspect the door, give us a price to replace it. And we haven't spent anything on this contract. It's just an extension.
And okay. The piggybacking comes in handy. I've purchased a truck when I was working at New Paltz. When I put in for the EV charging stations for SOPAs, I used the county bid.
Mm-hmm.
I wish every municipality would add that clause in because it does help. You know, there's always OGS too, or you could go out for bid. A lot of times, though, that you know extends the process by 3 to 6 months. So.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no other discussion, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 409, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into the county with LW Tree Service. Motion for discussion.
Second.
Any discussion on this one?
I would just request, I think it was raised in Ways and Means, it'd be nice to have an update of what we've done with tree clearing in Ulster County to date, and what the what is being covered by this contract and what we anticipate needing to do going forward, kind of like the big picture on this. Not an objection to doing this, but just to kind of get situated in how far into dealing with the Emerald Ash Borer infestation we are.
Legislator Hepner, when he brought this up, and I don't know if it's Ways and Means or Caucus, but he mentioned some maps that we had created initially when we were trying to triage where we were going to, DPW was going to prioritize as far as ash tree. And at that point in time, because it was just like the first wave of the infestation, we were looking at both location and also density of ash along roads in order to deploy the contractor to those specific roads. Everything has been gone through at least the first time as far as responding to the dead and dying trees. So I don't know, after we chatted about this a little bit, whether or not an updated map would really kind of speak to the point that he was making there, since now it's kind of going back to elaborate on that, Brendan, as far as...
Well, at that time, not all the ash were all dying at the same rate. Some ash trees are still alive when we were doing our first triage round, so since then some other trees have gone on to become decayed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's as geographically targeted, like road segment to road segment. When we first went out with that plan, it was very like methodical as to where you were going to start and then work from there.
Yeah, I guess actually. I'm sorry. You want to speak?
No, I was going to say that. I mean, that's only one element of this contract. I mean, it's for emergency services. We get a tornado or hurricane, or something comes across the road. That's what this contract's for. I mean, the dying elm tree, ash trees, was only something that we use this contract for because they're dying.
So the explanation that this is kind of the second pass after a first pass that removed the most dangerous trees and easily diagnosed as dead. Or recognized as dead, that makes sense to me, and I think we anticipated originally that there would need to be several passes because of the differences in the disease course.
That first pass, that was like 3 years ago?
Way more than 10, 12 years.
It's been that long. I was here when they did it the first time.
Yeah.
Wow.
The density at that point in time, summer youth workers at Environment who went out and actually did windshield counts,
mm-hmm.
so that we could come up with the density and also where they were closest to encroaching on the road in order to deploy the crew, kind of sequentially down the list. But and also to legislator at this point, this also just covers all sorts of hazard trees, mm-hmm. not just ash.
But it would make sense to me that we would not necessarily need to do the same level of mapping and documentation for a second pass at this point.
I think Legislator Hepner just liked the maps and wants to see them again.
I won't dispute that.
Is there a tree climate management policy in the county? I mean, I've seen funding or grants come up for that. But that's extensive, especially the county this size, being in the Catskills.
What I have seen as far as like tree inventory and things like that, those are like the city of Kingston has received that kind of grant. And what they're looking for is both park areas and also street trees. That's a little bit probably less, doesn't fit us quite as well as something like that, where they were mapping gaps in canopy or quality of trees in parks and things like that. So,
and some of the towns have done natural resource inventories that would also give them information. It might be nice to think about at some point, pulling all that information together. But I think that would be kind of a discretionary project at this point, since those municipalities that do control those, including New York State with the Catskill Forest Preserve, would have management responsibilities rather than the county.
I think it is worthwhile to think about, you know, how we use trees and how we replant trees on
mm-hmm.
county property,
mm-hmm.
Especially around different buildings and grounds. You know, I know that the courthouse has had a kind of several larger trees have come down there. However, you know, you've also been planning for an extensive exterior renovation. But hopefully when that capital project is done, you can think mm-hmm. about longer-term canopy, because every little
Make
place you have the
yes.
opportunity to.
Yeah.
Just remind folks that we did a couple little projects here on Main Street where we added trees to the streetscape, the one by going in over by Santa Fe, and then the red maple along the street side. And they're coming along, so even small areas are probably worth looking at on county property for that kind of those benefits.
And I don't know if Public Works used them, but I had a call from somebody in Rosendale who had had been calling up about a tree, but a big chunk of it came down and closed down half a creek locks. And Public Works went out like the next day and immediately took the tree, because it looked like it was in really bad shape, but I don't know much. But I thank you for that, because, you know, we lost somebody in Rosendale years ago because a tree went across 32. And I don't know, when I see those trees leaning, I speed up. Get under it real quick. But thank you for that. Yeah, beat it before it comes down on me. What a way to go. Okay. All right, any other discussion? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 410, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $28,740, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Alleymore Inc., DBA Pestmasters. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second. Any discussion? Legislator Erner.
Thank you, Chair Petit. So attached to this contract amendment, I see local law number 4 of 2009 around non-toxic landscape management, maintenance, excuse me. A couple things about that. First of all, I noticed they define a pest as a whole bunch of stuff, whatever the State Department of Environmental Conservation declares to be a pest. I'm wondering if that's the best way to define a term. Sort of seems sort of circular, but I guess I understand where that's coming from.
I can speak to that in that at one point I was very concerned because the spotted lanternfly, which is a moth, spotted lantern moth, was showing up on lists as an endangered or threatened species, and it's also considered an agricultural pest. So it's a fair point, but I think that letting the Department of Environmental Conservation be the ones to determine is as good as we're going to get, because they do have access to experts from Cornell on entomology and other factors that would be considered in this. And because this is, I think this is buildings that we're talking about here, I don't think we will be at risk of injuring beings that we think of as beneficial to the ecology and to human enjoyment of natural spaces.
I was just going through real quick, because when we did the tour of Elizabeth Manor, Nate had mentioned adding that, and so we did that on this resolution then.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vicki, I know she sent it out via email, but I did not see. So this actually adds on Broadway campus. No, it does not add on
Grant
Broadway.
Grant Avenue,
okay. Why are we, well, we're selling that. Yes.
to speak to the point about the definition of pest, I'd have to look at this again, but I tend to think that it's probably because if it's regulated as a pest by DEC, then like kind of the action, because they regulate the applicators of pesticides and also the agents that then become regulated materials that you apply, that it probably is some kind of like nexus to that definition. And that's what I would tend to think. Why DEC defines the what's a pest, if that's helpful. And it does apply to any property we own, or any property we lease, or any lessee who operates on county property.
Okay. Yes, Legislator Erna.
Thanks. And I'm actually glad to see this policy. The mayor of the city, Kingston, had asked me to look into what sort of to strengthening a policy like this, and I don't believe I got as far as knowing what it was. But now, with this resolution before us, I've read through this, and I see in Section 6, we're supposed to have an advisory committee on non-toxic pest management, and I have been unable to determine whether we do or what they've done.
I think the Department of Environment has that responsibility, and I haven't seen it minutes on the committee for this type of engagement, but I have seen it for similar types of questions about use of toxic products on county property. So it's an internal committee. It's not a public advisory committee. It's a committee to advise the contractors of what they can use. Is that my understanding?
You know, any time, either by county employees, people who are leasing property from us, or our contractors, if Pestmaster were to recommend a chemical that's not allowed under that local law, it would require the committee convening. And I know that it hasn't been. They've been able to do any of their services within, you know, by that law without a waiver. The committee is spelled out in that local law. The makeup of that committee, they do meet as they receive waiver requests, and it is by the local law chaired by the director of the Department of the Environment.
And if I could just add on that those kind of waiver provisions are part of what I am trying to address in the resolution that was introduced this month, but will probably be discussed next month, in terms of making that process come into legislative discussion more than it has in the past. It's, I think, worked well in the past, but the idea is to make sure that it's transparent and maybe even make it a little better.
Legislator Litz?
Just for clarification, pesticides can only be applied by a licensed pesticide applicator, and that license is issued by DEC, so that's probably why we have that language.
And just to clarify again, this does say the Crisis Stabilization Center, and it doesn't say anything about Elizabeth Manor. And it looks like an additional $44,000, or is that the total of the contract?
I think that's the total.
So amendment number, this is amendment 3. This amendment 2 included 368.
Previous amendment.
Okay.
A few months ago.
I'm just looking for it within the body of the... I see the Board of Elections. They see the jail and impound yard corrections. I'm just looking for the contract that actually says Elizabeth Manor, and
that's a different contract, is what they're saying.
It's
same contract.
What?
It should all be the same contract. It's all under the same. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule A4. Okay. Perfect.
And
I won't harp on it anymore.
the additional amount that's requested here is $28,740 to give a total amount of $98,620. $12. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any other discussion? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 411, supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding.
I am happy to move it.
Okay. Second. Okay. Director Roser here.
Right here.
Did you have anything to summarize it for us? Okay.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Let's take the money.
Just take it? All right, so we're ready to vote, legislator earner.
No. No, of course I have questions about UCAT. Can we get I read through the application. It mentions upgrade. Can we get an example of some anticipated improvements? I know it mentioned this is for all operating costs, but since it mentioned that, what do we expect this million?
That will use $1.3 million towards our budget. So we can cover driver salaries, anything in our budget we can pay for without any questions from the federal government.
Wow.
Okay. And it can be anything.
Okay. Hire a couple more drivers, get those routes expanded.
I did have one other question.
Yes.
Thank you. I also saw in the application a mentioning of the significant decline in passenger fare revenue, but I believe we submitted this after the county was starting to pay for the fares. So is that just referring to previous decline, because during the pandemic we went down from 400K to 150K?
That's what they based it on.
Got it. Okay. So, okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 412, approving the execution of a contract for $51,056 entered into by the county with Complete Building Solutions, Inc. A motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
No, second it. Fabiano, any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 426, establishing the Transit Riders Advisory Committee. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. This is a resolution that Legislator Erner and I have put forward. There is a similar advisory committee in Niagara County. Of course, it's a much larger system, but Legislator Erner and I meet essentially every Sunday with a group called RUTA, and it is boots on the ground public transit users. So the perspective that they have from actually, you know, using the system is incredibly helpful. The appointment recommendations would come through this committee and then get forwarded to the legislature for a final approval. Deputy Director Laval, you had some discussion, I think, on this with the executive's office. Did you get feedback from them?
I did, and we've been, you know, I think just trying to think about how it's very important to have forums where staff would be present, and if there are questions from a riders group, that we can hear knowledgeable staff is there to answer them. And I think that would actually be a very constructive forum, because I do read things on occasion where what's being reported or kind of put out in the public sphere needs to then be corrected from UCAT, as things don't, you know, quite work that way, and that's not constructive for really anything. It's not constructive of the public forum or of, you know, actually leading to a better transit system for all the users. I do have, you know, questions regarding how this committee would be supported and whether or not it, because it is a legislative initiative, if there would be staff then to support the committee as far as meetings, agendas, communication, etc.
Yes, legislator Nolan.
I think those are important questions to address. The Trails Advisory Committee does not have legislative support, and it functions. We have volunteers who pick that up, but I think for this type of committee to work with the transit, work with UCAT, that it would be helpful to have more support than that committee has. The resolution does mention multimodal transit, and I think it's more than just transit that is contemplated in this, and so I wonder if that could be reflected in the name of the committee and some attention given to that in the appointments. So if transit riders and multimodal transportation advisory committee, for example, I think would give a place for some discussions that need to be taking place. They sometimes come into the Trails Advisory Committee, but it's not an easy fit because the Trails Advisory Committee is largely talking about off-street, off-road trails, and this would be contemplating all forms of transit for the public that is non-motorized or for public transit. So I'd like for that type of discussion to have a home, and I think this committee would be a good place for it. Another place that those conversations sometimes comes up are in the Traffic Safety Board, and it's important that they come up there, but you might want to have a liaison from the Traffic Safety Board to this committee, and that would make for some really good discussions, I think.
Okay.
So these kinds of changes, I think, might result in some changes in the language of the resolution. I don't know how the sponsors feel about maybe taking another month and considering how to make it work for the different groups, as, you know, get the support if we can obtain that and write that into the resolution. So, if you'd like,
we did have a discussion with the clerk about staffing it, which is, you know, getting difficult because they've got a lot going on now. There's 23 of us and multiple committees. The Recycling Oversight Committee does not have staff either, and that's actually within our mandatory source separation and recycling law that we have that committee. We're provided with assistance, but just not a clerk at the actual meeting. But you don't have that at all at the Trails Advisory?
No.
Okay. All right. So, Legislator Erner.
Yeah, I appreciate everyone's feedback. I'd be willing to wait another month to incorporate and consider changes. I wanted to share a couple more comments from both this public group that Chair Petit mentioned. We go to their meetings and some others who have sent feedback from the public. We had a recommendation that rather than quarterly, the group meet at least 6 times a year. We had a recommendation that they generate an annual report. Do we have that statement also from Rachel?
She said she sent it to both of us. I don't see it because there's been a whole flurry of emails. I don't know if anybody's been checking on that today.
While you're looking for that, maybe I could say it's going to come up in relationship to some of the following resolutions. One of the goals is cost effectiveness, and so while I understand the desire to meet more frequently, I think in terms of cost effectiveness, it may be better to have quarterly meetings, especially if we can get staffing for quarterly meetings, than to have more regular meetings where we don't have that support. So I think there's a dialogue that starts when we have a comment submitted, and that would be my response.
Yeah, I don't see anything from her. I mean, she said she sent it. I don't see anything, so.
I'll second Phil's motion.
Okay.
To postpone.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe we can have her here with us next month. Okay. All right. Moving on to resolution number 427.
Do we have to call the vote
on that because we're postponing?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 427, establishing a policy to set minimum frequencies and to prevent gaps on fixed route public transportation services. Motion for discussion?
So moved.
Second? Thank you. Legislator Erner?
Thank you, Chair Petit. So, this comes from, again, feedback from riders, not just from that group, but in the meetings we've been having around the county, that the breaks in the day that exist for, we'll call it lunch and dinner, and then also some other breaks that are, for example, between Kingston and New Paltz, which I know is not a single route. It's managed by 5 routes, I believe, but there's a gap of like about 3.5 hours where you can't get between New Paltz and Kingston, are hard for people who really depend on transit, and even people who would be able to make a choice to take transit, in some cases they can't because of what I'll just call the erraticness. And I understand some of the reason for that has to do with rebidding new drivers' hours and so forth, but this policy contemplates leveling that out so that everyone can expect that there will be a regular bus within a certain frequency from opening time to closing time every day that the bus is run. And that's the basic purpose of this. And I understand from council that we have no legal impediment to make this policy.
Yes, thank you. Legislator Liz.
Do we have the staff and equipment to be able to run buses every half hour, every hour to every place that we run?
We don't have the staff right now. And also the way, going right, the way that the hours were bid on, sorry for my voice, the way that the hours were bid on, the drivers, we have to adhere to their time slots that they bid on.
When they went under contract?
Yeah.
And I would, if I may, add that this is expressly one of the questions that we will be examining through the transit studies and the routing studies. This is definitely squarely within the scope of that study. We're interviewing currently vendors to award that to. We were held up by several months by New York State DOT before we were able to advertise and get the RFP out on the street. So unfortunately, we are behind in that process, but this is exactly what we're looking to bring in third-party expertise to sit down and help us figure out and be able to also associate costs and staffing with this, because I would note that the resolution says that there's zero financial impact. Is it still
TBD?
TBD. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can't determine until we have a study. That is what will allow us to come up with holistically the examination to look at what makes a more effective system and what schedules are required.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I would very much like to wait for that study. I also felt that it was difficult to understand the resolution. The term service breaks is used here, and I didn't know what it meant. I have from Legislator Erner's description now an understanding of that. But again, this resolution does cite that we're trying to provide quality public transportation in a safe, reliable, and cost-effective manner. And I think it needs to be demonstrated that how the fixed route service fits with cost effectiveness. And so we would need those numbers on what the increases in costs are. I'm sympathetic to the aim that we just simply provide buses running around everywhere all day long. I could have used that service myself on many occasions, and I know many people who would love to step on a bus as though we're in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But in my district, to provide this, my district is 23 miles long. And so to provide continuous service there for a population that is very sparse, I mean, it is rural of rural. So the number of people who would be served by a continuously running loop, I think, is not realistic and helpful to think about, especially in terms of cost to the environment. So cost for me would be the amount of money we spend on this for the amount of benefit, and could we do it in a more cost-effective manner, and also cost to the environment. And I'm not sure if it was in this resolution or another one, but there are some, or in some supporting materials, the materials of the slideshow from RUTA from December of 2022 say that microtransit is not a better solution. And I'm willing to believe that or not, but I haven't heard presentation of information on either side of that. I haven't, you know, seen what we know about microtransit and don't have the information about this. And I think that it's prudent for us to wait for that sort of information before we head in one direction or the other. So this one, I think, if the sponsors maybe would consider withdrawing it temporarily, or we take no action and come back to it, you know, once we have a lot more information. But I'd like to see presentations. We did bring up at a prior meeting that we didn't receive the microtransit funding, but we would evaluate, you know, what aspects of that we might be able to incorporate that would help. And just, I may be wrong, and I'm happy to be shown to be wrong, but for my district, I think that some form of microtransit, some much smaller vehicles going on an on-demand system, seems to me more likely to work well than a fixed route that nobody uses.
Legislator Erner.
Okay. Well, once again, I thank everyone for the feedback. I'm not interested in withdrawing this at all. I have plenty of evidence from my own experience and talking to riders that this is needed, but I understand that we need to provide more of what that is. I don't disagree that fixed bus service is not necessarily the solution for every part of the county, and that's why I have another resolution coming right up where we're going to talk about a broader system. But as for this, the idea is there weren't always breaks for lunch and dinner. There wasn't just a time wherein there was no bus running in Ulster County like there is now. That's kind of a new thing. And there also wasn't always a time when we had three buses leaving Kingston between 2 and 2:25 p.m. all going to New Paltz. I understand that's currently because of the way the drivers' routes are, but that makes no sense. Then we don't have another bus till like the 6 o'clock hour. If you want to talk about a waste of resources, why don't we have a bus garage in New Paltz and they don't have to make that trip three times? So I just think somehow we're running it right now is not serving. And I'd like to find the solution so that it could serve better both the ridership that we know, that I'll say I know need, and we're hearing from these meetings around the county say they need, or otherwise maybe we can the whole fixed bus thing, because it seems like we're not taking it seriously the way that we have the schedules right now. And pardon my feeling, you know, expressing a little frustration here, but I can show other examples of that here and other routes.
So I take the point, and take very seriously the point, that the service may not be optimized yet. So I think there needs to be a mechanism that feedback gets given and received and acted upon. But to create policy, I think you have to have a clear solution that this policy works, and because it's written for Ulster County, it needs to work for the whole county. So I just don't think we're there yet. I mean, it may be, as you said, maybe we do abandon fixed route schedules, or we say that we only have it in certain cities, or as I think the other resolution maybe contemplates, express service lines need to be considered. But I'm a bit of a, it's called casuistry, where you solve a problem and then you write the policy to formalize and keep your solution going. If you write the policy before you do that on-the-ground work, then you've got an experiment with the whole weight of regulatory authority behind it, and it's very hard to change it usually. And it provides the expectation that you have a solution before you've worked out a solution. So I think we've got, with the transit study coming up and with this group, you know, with an advisory group that's having conversations with a new director, we have the opportunity to fix some of these problems. I just think the resolution is like a sledgehammer approach when we're still at, you know, much more fine-grained.
Needed, though.
Well, I don't dispute that there have been problems and that those problems got worse, especially over the past year. Some of the contracts that we are probably working under that create this system antedate today. And so looking to make sure that future contracts go a different direction makes sense to me. And if it took a policy to make that happen, then I would probably support it. I do not believe that it takes a policy to make that happen. I think we have a different administration. We have a different set of people working on these problems. So I would make a motion that we postpone this a month.
Mm-hmm. Or do you want to take no action? Because if you carry it forward, I think after three postponements, then we're obligated to vote on it.
I'm fine to second the postponement.
Okay. All right. All in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 428, establishing a policy to provide public transportation in all municipalities and census-designated places. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. So this is even more ambitious than the last one. This, you know, anticipating from the previous discussion, I already recognize I will need to narrow the scope of this. This is actually council's advice to work with UCAT and the county attorney and the route optimization study. But be that all as it may, I'd just like to share a little other information which helps to motivate this, and also my opinion. I mean, my opinion is that basic equity says that there should be public transport, some way for people without cars to get from where they to where they need to be in this county. And that should include every town. Like, you shouldn't have a town that just is totally cut off from any opportunity like that. According to the Riders of Ulster Transit Alliance, I believe it is 7.5% of county households have no car. In the city of Kingston, it's 17% in, where's the numbers? It's comparable to that in Village of Ellenville, New Paltz, and Saugerties. So those are some of the higher places in the county. But those are also places where we have service now. So I recognize that we would do well to know specifically, but I did in formulating this resolution come up with a list. I'm not sure I can produce it for you. I apologize, but there are 14 census designated places or other places covered by this resolution that currently have no public transit whatsoever that I'm aware of. Certainly not by UCAT. Maybe some other departments can have a one-off thing or they have arrangements, but definitely not UCAT service. And some examples are places that we've been on our, at least the first informal stop on our transit tour, like Walker Valley. I have this map. I spoke with Beth Albright today from Ulster Corps, who, along with Family of Woodstock, had created a little over a decade ago the map of the food pantries in the county. And she told me a number of things, like it would be great if there was
there's at least three locations there that say that they're on accessible by public transit, but they're not. They're in Walker Valley, a spot in between Saugerties and Woodstock, and in Marlboro, which the last two of those used to have public buses on 212 between Woodstock and Saugerties, and the G route used to go all the way to Marlboro Hamlet and hasn't for a few years. So, and I know there's been discussion about could we bring those back along with the Wilbur bus that used to exist in the city bus. But other reasons that Ulster Corps said they liked the idea of neighbor to neighbor but worried about liability insurance, that shouldn't really be on the volunteers, and getting to a fixed route. So if we could establish a fixed route in every town, at least just one route, maybe we work with the school districts. This is an idea that's being explored in Tompkins County, and I've had discussions with them, some legislators and some organizers around transit out there. One advantage they have to us is all their school buses are run by the school districts, and only two of our nine districts, that's true here, so that might be a challenge, but thinking creatively about some of those partnerships could help this come to fruition.
New Paltz pays, I think, $30,000 a year, so I know not every municipality could be able to afford that, but it's certainly not unprecedented, or to include the businesses. It would be an advantage for them. So.
Yeah, like what, if I might, like this isn't necessarily saying you got to run a 40-passenger bus to every town in the county. I agree that that doesn't make sense right now. However, there's got to be a way for people to get around. And I know others want to talk. I have a couple more examples that I'd like to share of what the public has said over the years. I learned on a recent trip on the X route that there was a petition with 50 signatures on it submitted by riders of that route 10 years ago that said we'd like to have buses on the weekend. Right now the X route between New Paltz and Newburgh only operates Monday through Friday, and that, as far as I know, that didn't happen. There was a driver who was telling me this, and a rider confirmed it. They resubmitted that petition 7 years ago, same number of signatures, and we didn't do it then, and then 5 years ago for the last time. So I don't know what that's a lot of riders. I've ridden that bus a few times. I've seen maybe 10 riders at most for that route. So for 50 of X bus riders to say, that's saying something. And the last point I want to make before I take a breath is just a little bit more about the Kingston New Paltz route. You know, we had the Rosendale Street Fest this weekend, which I certainly appreciate that UCAT can provide a shuttle bus so that more people can get to the festival, but how are you going to get to the festival if you didn't have access to a car? On Saturday, you could get there from Kingston at 8 in the morning. There was two buses, and then you couldn't get home until 6 at night. That was your only option, and that's the only place you could really go to, except you could come in the other direction from New Paltz roughly similar times, I believe. And then on Sunday, there was an extra bus in the middle of the day. There was like a 1 o'clock from Kingston. But we're doing more, it seems to me, to accommodate people who are driving to events, whether it's that or the Saugerties Garlic Festival or 4th of July in the city of Kingston or the county fair, who are driving there, parking their car, and need to take a bus, a shuttle, and UCAT's providing that shuttle. I don't know if we're getting paid for that, but if we're shuttling people from their cars, why aren't we conveying people who don't have a car in the first place to these events? Thank you.
That should go under the tourism budget. We really should discuss that and consider it. But, yeah. Legislator Nolan.
So, again, I'm sympathetic to the aims, and I would say my comments for the prior, before Resolution 426 and 427 would apply here. My district includes municipalities that have not had service for many years, and I've been working over the past 6 or 8 years at least, maybe longer, to get service. Denning suffered greatly during some of the downsizing and changeovers in UCAT. And so I do want that municipality to have service. But to read a resolution that would guarantee daily access, I don't think daily access is what my constituents are asking for. They want to do a once-a-week kind of transit because there would be two or three people riding once a week. Daily, there's not people enough, I think, to make that service make any sense. So I think we need to have the figures on who needs what before we come with a one-size-fits-all solution.
We do offer that service in certain areas, like the chauffeur's bus if they need to go somewhere. And lately, if somebody calls and needs access on the weekend, we put an extra driver on to do it. But I can just, I was just running the numbers right now for, I know you said the X bus. We have very little. In a month, we've had the total trip count for the month is 692, so that's over 30 days. So we do pick up a significant number of riders per day.
So,
like 20. But
yeah. So,
I mean,
what?
What
would you, Director Roser, suggest as a mechanism for bringing the concerns of the citizens in these different municipalities that have had diminished service over time, for making them aware that they can have certain services for hearing requests for service?
I think once the route study's done, we can look at some of these routes that don't pick up as many passengers and maybe incorporate, you know, we did this with the CL route and the W route. We incorporated those together once the schedules were changed, and they also go down to Walk Hill.
Mm-hmm.
On two trips, and then they go out to the college. So we kind of combine those two services. So maybe with the route study and looking at the whole big picture, we'll be able to combine some other routes.
Is there any reason that you would rule out of hand the idea of weekend service to areas that might have sufficient ridership to justify that?
Only the matter of not having
drivers.
So basically, we have 15 part-time positions available right now. And in the past, when Phil was saying there were maybe no breaks or service breaks or lunch breaks, what UCAT used to do, and I wasn't here then, but I was with the city of Kingston, they had all these part-time drivers that they would have come in, and they would just go out and cover those routes. Unfortunately, we don't have that luxury right now to do that.
Let's just say that
if we did go to a fixed route system on a more regular basis, wouldn't we have to buy more buses? Because once we go all electrified, you're not going to be able to keep that pace up. You'd have to have two, maybe three buses per
route. To cover each route.
So how many buses do we have right now?
We have 40.
So we'd have to have about 120.
And then you get into another reporting cycle.
You need $1 billion.
Then you need somewhere to house them.
But you may not need all full-size buses. You know,
regardless,
if it's a smaller area with two or three people,
still need drivers on.
Have to be housed inside.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter what size the bus is,
right.
You still need
it doesn't
a driver.
Matter. They need to be housed inside.
Amanda LaValle and then Phil Erner.
I'd also like to remind you, too, that you know, we were not successful in getting the microtransit award, but that's one of the lenses we're going to be using in the route study. So everything I've heard so far right now is a pretty we're kind of looking backwards at kind of our past practices to address any of the concerns, right now. And we have to remember that that route study is going to give in and come in and hopefully give us also different solutions that we might not be considering right now towards meeting those needs to deploy those looking into the future. And I think that's also a very important piece of this, that we can't just look at, you know, running buses. You know, it's such an interesting time as the kind of technology and the software side gets so much more sophisticated right now, and looking at needs where we might not even know that there are needs and what we can do there.
Is that RFP available? Would you be able to
yes.
forward that? So, okay,
so,
thank you.
Absolutely.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. All right, yeah, so I understand where the folks are at who have spoken. I guess I just want to point out one last thing, which is the whole discussion about like the amount of resources that this is going to take. I'd like us to think more as a county of rather than of individuals, but as a county, and what resources do we all have? Like, yes, individually, 92.5% of this county has cars. Maybe the 92.5% could then help the other 7.5% get around who don't, or the half of households in my municipality that I represent that only have one car and got to share it, like my own household. Maybe there's a way to incorporate that as part of this solution here. Because that's ultimately going to conserve all the resources we're talking about, just as well as running more buses.
But if we could get that 92% of car owners off of the roads, we'd be saving our roads and saving, you know, the problems we're having right now. So, I mean, we all saw it during COVID. So it was a real eye-opener to all the naysayers. But, yeah.
Motion to postpone.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, resolution number 429, establishing a policy to have express and mobile fixed routes on public transportation service. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. variation on a theme here based on feedback from constituents. When we went to Ellenville, well, and legislators, Legislator Gavaris explained to us his idea about having a weekend mountain bus, tourism bus, basically, between Ellenville, Cragsmore, Walker Valley, Kerhunks, in that area, and then also an express bus. And that was an interesting meeting because we didn't draw any participants in Village Hall where we were, but I went out on the street with Paula Sertoma, and we canvassed people for about 10 minutes and met 10 different bus riders. And all had different stories. One of them was waiting to come to work. She works up on Route 28 at a gas station. And, Legislator Gavaris pointed out, it'd be nice, we'll just put it that way, if the EU bus could pretty much go straight between Ellenville and Kingston, and then maybe you have a circulator bus that goes around the village at Ellenville and a circulator bus on the other end, and which we sort of have with the Kingston routes. But just to speed things up, to make it more of like, okay, I have a choice to take the bus or not, and I'm gonna choose to take the bus because it's actually comparable in speed to the car. If you don't have a choice and you have to take the bus, then it doesn't take you as much of the day to get to your job, to get to your appointments and so forth. And so that's where this idea comes from, and I recognize it suffers from some of the same concerns of the others.
mm-hmm. Legislator Nolan.
So I would just say that my car broke down a couple of months ago, and had it towed to the shop, and I was lucky enough to get a ride home. But the next day, to get my car back, I had to use the UCAT service, and it did take me all day. It did take me all day. But I live in one of the most remote part of the county, and I had service, and I was able to find out what the service was and catch all those rides. It was now free, which was a great convenience.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to chip in for my ride, and I don't think the bus had an easily visible mechanism to do that, but maybe they do by now. And I guess I just would say that I don't think it would be cost effective to have service that was designed to make my life easier on that day. I do think that when we have work centers, that we should have abilities for people to get from their residence to the work and back. And I think that it has tourism benefits to have some of these routes, and so that should be a discussion with the tourism department. And this is all a really big, good conversation to have. So I value the what I will consider to be the start of the discussion with, you know, potential policies, and hope that we can continue to share information and come up with a good system. I am a little concerned if we make providing transportation to everyone just the way they want it in a county this size as our priority, that it will not be cost effective.
I just want to add, I'm sure this isn't everybody's solution to it, but we do offer bike racks on the bus also. So if you had just, you know, a couple of miles to go and you couldn't get to that destination, it's the same as using pulleys or whatever for the elevators, you could probably put your bicycle on, ride those next few miles. But not everyone can ride a bicycle or something like that. And then we would offer our paratransit service to them, which we have been trying to get the word out for that service, and also the shopper service through the other agencies. And we also put little blurbs in the buzz from Office of the Aging. So I think that our paratransit service has increased, and the ridership on that, number one, because it is totally free now, and it helps a lot of those people in the remote places that don't have access to vehicles or have had their licenses taken away and those kind of things. So we try the best that we can, and like I said, until we get the staffing that we need.
So maybe we could take some of those blurbs and put them together and send them out to all the town clerks in the towns and villages and the cities, because the town clerks have their ways of getting information out.
And which said office, was it Office
of Office of Aging?
Yeah.
Office of Aging, yeah. In the buzz. But the buzz is
for our Facebook pages too.
Yeah. You know, so asking them to lift this up a little bit more. Right. The buzz has got a lot of information in it, and so it gets lost a little bit. So just it's good, and we should use all of these mechanisms. Yeah. But I think the town clerks for this type of information are good, because sometimes people will call the town clerk if they need
everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Right.
Yeah, from dogs to neighbors to Yes, Legislator Earner.
Thank you. I believe it was this resolution. Yeah, this resolution does contemplate corresponding with municipalities, and so I appreciate the reinforcement of that suggestion. I know that the current collaboration with New Paltz enables them to have more frequent service than any other place in the county. It is unfortunate, in my view, that the SUNY Student Union has elected to stop paying us, though, and that's a discussion I'm hoping we will have with them. That said, I had heard about some interest in the town of Woodstock of having a circulator type bus, or one that would go beyond the current fixed route, like out to Bearsville and Shady and where not. And I think that approach could really, I know the municipalities have lately been in our county and in our region been shedding that responsibility. Kingston merged into UCAT, but maybe there's a way that the municipalities can weigh in. They obviously know their population better than the county as a whole does, and they know where people need to go to and from. But anyway, I'm more than happy to continue to work on this like the other ones, and I move we postpone them.
Okay,
a month.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any in opposition? Any abstentions? Okay. We don't have any, well, we do new business first. Legislator Nolan, you have Resolution 432, policy requiring vendors to comply with all applicable Ulster County policies.
So this is a resolution that I designed to address the fact that there are all these policies. And when I decided to take a look at them, I found that nobody was keeping a list of them that was readily available. I thought that had been a prior, that we had a resolution previously to do that, but it didn't seem like it was happening. So part of this is just that we should have a list, and there is a list of policies that's attached to this that could be updated as we have new policies. And so then that would go out with various contracts, as it did happen, you know, for the pest masters and other mm-hmm. policies that we have. But it also contemplates, as I mentioned, the idea that if there is a waiver that is being considered from something that is a policy, that that would come back to the legislature. And currently it's written that there would be a two-thirds majority needed to waive a policy, because presumably put the policy in place because we wanted it followed. But there could be good reasons to waive it. The executive's team wants to take a look at this, how it would affect procurement. Chris Kelly, who is the deputy director that would normally be in charge, was away during the time I was drafting this, so I've pulled it back and it'll be considered next month, and there'll probably be some opposition to that waiver provision and some discussion about what makes sense. So it's on the agenda so that we take a look at it as it comes before us next month.
Thank you. Legislator Litz?
Is there a chance that it would come to the legislature for every waiver?
Yeah, I only know of a couple of waivers that have happened in the past 10 years. So
plastic foam?
There are all of our county contracts, state contracts, municipal contracts require the vendor or contractee to comply with all state, federal, and county regulations and policies. Now, one that comes to mind is the requirement for like 30% DBE or WBE or 6% of a disabled veteran. And a lot of the contracts put a waiver in because there's only two or three disabled veterans that qualify in the whole state. So we would see every single contract that the county puts out that requires that 6% disabled veteran component. And there's a lot of the our contracts can't meet the 30% WBE. So maybe if they only meet 8% or 12%, they still have to put a waiver in. They also have to file a good faith effort. So we would be reviewing all of that documentation on every single contract if that is what we're going to require.
Yeah, I didn't intend to capture all that. And I thought that by distinguishing procurement, we might evade that, but you're giving me examples that clearly would be in that. So if you can help me identify those waivers that occur commonly, I had in mind to try to capture the type of waiver we discussed earlier where Legislator Erner asked about the committee that Department of Environment has to see whether or not there should be a waiver in terms of using a chemical that's not listed on the green chemicals for cleaning or for dealing with insect that we consider pests.
Now, who wrote that policy? That was Rob Parody right there.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I think maybe some additional research, because I believe all of our contracts require the contractee to meet all of Ulster County's policies by signing their contract.
this is just a question. Is there any, and I haven't read it through, so I apologize in advance if this is answered. I'm just thinking about, you know, if they were to buy a vehicle as part of a construction project, would we also be thinking about electric vehicles, those kinds of procurement goals? We have a lot of language around paper that now we're moving towards. Does it cover everything like of that? So it just has a lot of policy.
Well, the paper one is one that got me motivated because it is more expensive to purchase recycled or sustainably forested paper, but I think we had a policy that we should do it, and I'm not sure that it included sustainably forested. So if somebody came to us and said we need a waiver because we can't get recycled paper, maybe we would have rewritten the policy to say you could do sustainably harvested. So I think it's just basically, should we be looking at some of these policies? And I think that people had stopped buying recycled paper because it was harder to get and more expensive. But it was my understanding when we decided to do that, that we understood it would be harder to get and more expensive, and we wanted to do that anyway. So, it is a delicate dance between, implementation and then the policy, but I think paper is a good example of where we could be doing better than we're doing because somebody's kind of waiving it without a process.
And in the some of the environmental policies, well, all of the environmental policies that speak to their chemicals, pretty much everything you wrote that paper, green cleaning, pesticides, those are included in the sustainability guide as in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all included in that document as a compendium of any of the anything that would touch environment within that document for just the purpose that you take so that it's
available
in one
to
place.
Yeah.
And it's all separated by topic.
So it sounds like we already have that in place, it's just not being enforced.
And I don't know if it's not being enforced because now there's two separate. There's our internal green procurement manual that was just kind of upgraded, and then there's a separate resolution pre-existing that still is on the books. And I think that does speak to things that are sent out to a printer or that we're getting other ways. So it would be reviewed for that with that.
Sounds like I should speak with prior legislator
Parity
and figure out how to get this good. But this is the reason that I did pull this resolution back, recognize that it needed some further work. So if those who've spoken on it will help me with that, I would appreciate it.
And I would just say that another kind of leg of the stool is the health department, as we have the straw law.
Maybe we need a policy that requires us to make sure that we have a policy. or reviewing and enforcing our existing policy.
But again, the anything having to do with waste, materials, it's all in that sustainability guide, in that compendium.
Legislator Erna.
A friendly recommendation for an amendment to correct a typo. There are various instances where the word vendors needs an O where there's a second E, including in the title.
It's vendors?
Yes, and it's spelled that way in some places, but not everywhere.
I didn't know that there was a preferred spelling, but it should be a consistent spell.
Is it right?
No.
Terrifying.
Go
look at the sun.
You cannot see the sun.
Gorgeous.
Oh, you can't see.
It is apocalyptic. It really is. We need to get these cars off the road.
Oh, man.
No, I think that's Canadian smoke coming back.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we... Yes.
Quick item of old business, if I might.
Absolutely.
So last meeting at the last minute, I was trying to help get someone here from National Resources to talk about their mobility hub proposal, and I saw some discussion between the chair and the administration. Do we expect they'll come talk to us next month?
No. I did get a call from Dan Ahouse. He was thinking closer to September or October. Because, I mean, they are moving along right now trying to find tenants. And this was a recent phone call within the last 2 or 3 days. Our clerk has also been following up with them as well. They just don't want to put the cart before the horse. So, yeah. But I'm very excited about the proposal they put in. I think it would be amazing. Again, it was, you know, we spoke of it as the Cadillac dream for iPark 87. And it would certainly help a lot with Ulster County. But, yes. Legislative Nolan.
The interweb says that vendor, V-E-N-D-O-R, is the proper way to spell the word. Vendor is an outdated version that is not used any longer.
Really?
However, the New Yorker, I think they mean the New Yorker magazine, uses the spelling vendor as part of its house style, but no one else does. So I will eschew the New Yorker style in favor of vendor throughout.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, contractee would
work. Oh. Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. And I'll second that.
That's okay.
Thank you, everyone.
You have the next 2 years.
Okay.
Amanda?
Thank you.
May I make an appointment to talk about this, not this week, next week, or the week after, but ideally next week?
Good meeting.
Perfect. Yeah, Friday's no good for me either. How about Thursday?
Just email.
Okay, what do you
the
got?
The record will never show up.
And we'll hide Tony. No problem. I filled a couple of them out now.